Welcome to the Confidence Lounge podcast, where we cover all things confidence in life and business. I'm your host, Elise Conroy, and I'm on a passionate mission to help thousands of women across the world feel more confident from the inside out. Because not on my watch am I ever going to watch another woman do insecure life and business again. So if you're ready to become your most confident self, mama, or businesswoman, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So grab your favorite beverage, get nice and comfy, and get ready to receive today's confidence injection. Oh, hey, friends. So I was just sitting here doing my year-end reflection, my whole entire review of 2023, and there are so many powerful lessons that I learned that I had to come on and do just a quick little bonus episode to share these lessons. I want to also share my top three failures, and I also want to share with you who I've become in 2023 because of everything that I've learned and everything that I faced. So I don't have a lot of notes here. I'm just going to share from my heart because this is all just, you know, so fresh, so top of mind because I was just doing this reflection for myself. So I'm actually going to be launching another episode tomorrow that is really going into this end of year ritual that I do for myself. So if you want to do this reflection work right alongside me, definitely listen to tomorrow's episode because there's going to be a ton of juicy material in here for you. This is another bonus episode that I'm doing to help you just really ground in, learn from 2023. So that way you don't repeat what didn't work in 2023 and 2024. So we're going to call this the clean the slate exercise, right? And really doing your annual review. So that way you know where you want to go next year with clear vision. Okay, so let me just run down this list of my top lessons, and there's a lot of them, that I learned in 2023, because I think for so many of you, this will be valuable. And I'm sure you probably had to learn some of the same lessons as well, because holy guacamole, it has been a year, right? Okay, lesson number one is there is no such thing as skipping past the hard part. Boy. Okay, I keep thinking at some point I'm going to find a shortcut, but I don't know about you. I have yet to find it. If you found one, let me know. Because the way that I find the navigation process of challenges is it really looks like there's a moment where you start going through it where it's like, oh my God, this is happening. Then you start, as you're going through it, you start getting through it, which is like turning the page and figuring things out. And then there's a point that you reach where you have gotten through it, right? And this will happen to you hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times in your life. The smallest of the smallest up to the biggest of the biggest. And I keep looking for this easy way around this. And y'all, it's not a thing. There's no such thing as an easy route. And there's some elements where, yes, you can shortcut in life. Okay, fine. But when it comes to doing hard things, when it comes to hard stuff, we just got to go through it. And then at some point, you're going to get through it. And then there's going to be a day where you're like, oh my God, I got through this. And you are going to realize as you navigate this, if you allow these challenges to fuel you to grow, to help you learn, to support you in becoming your strongest self, there is no possible way that you can't step into being your best you. Because I look at everything that I faced this year, becoming a mom, really navigating a lot of ups and downs in business, really figuring out, you know, my friend circle and figuring out things with family. There was a lot of challenges that I faced, and especially also navigating my parents' cancer journey. That's still obviously a daily thing that I'm going through. And every time I look for the easy way, things just end up getting harder, right? But when I look at, wow, I got through that, I am so proud of myself. And I am so amazed by my capacity to be resilient and my capacity to muster this inner strength that just fuels me in the moments where I think I have nothing left in the tank. And all of a sudden, I just keep going. And on all those nights that I had zero sleep and I have to, you know, come work with clients or do a speaking engagement or come record my podcast, somehow that I mustered the energy to just keep going, even though it was so hard. And I look at everything that I was able to accomplish in those hard moments, and I just have so much immense pride and confidence because of what I was able to do. So if you're somebody who tries to skip past the hard part, just know the hard part's still always going to find you. So navigate those three steps, going through it, getting through it, and got through it, and learn from that. So that leads me to my next lesson, which is I really can do hard things. And it's so silly, me being the creator of the CAN program and me teaching the CAN mindset. When I was going through those first few months of being a mom, I just had so many moments where I'm like, I can't do this. And then of course I could do it. I can do it. I am the creator of the CAN, right? And for me, I define CAN as confident action now. And that's just what I kept doing again and again and again this year. And once again, in those moments where I was like, I really can't. No, I still could. I got up and I can do this. And I just kept telling myself, myself in those moments where, let's say, Micah was just screaming in my face and he just made a gigantic mess that took me an hour to clean up, I would just sit there and I would repeat to myself, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And even when I was laboring, even though that wasn't this year, I remember I feel like every single person I've talked to who's given birth has reached this point where you just think to yourself, I can't. And even though I know I could, I just, in that moment, I just couldn't. It was too painful, right? And there was this moment where I looked at my husband and I'm like, I'm the creator of the CAN program and I can't do this. And he just started laughing. He's like, no, you're the creator of the CAN program and you can't do this. I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And I actually got it was like a little fake tattoo that said, I can do this. And it was so helpful to just have that reminder. And I look at that all the time in those moments when my brain wants to offer me the belief that I can't, because the reality is I can do really hard things and you can too. The next lesson is, when I met my limits, that showed me that this was my opportunity to grow my strength. So in those moments where I'm doing all the hard things and my brain is telling me that I can't, I looked at that and I was like, this is growth. This is life saying, hey, you're at your edge. Rise up. Create a new limit, right? Like literally go to the next level. So my capacity to do hard things amplified at such a powerful level this year because I was able to rise up, muster the energy, muster the courage, muster all of the strength that I needed to crawl out of the challenge and get to that next level, right? So when I met my limits, this for me, it was like going to my edge all the time. And I always say to people, it's like motherhood and launching a business, you will meet yourself at every single element, every single edge, right? Like you will meet every edge you have, you will meet every limit you have, because these experiences in life will bring up all of your shit. You will be forced to face your insecurities. You will be forced to overcome so many challenges. You will be forced to confront every doubt and every fear that you've ever had in your life. And if you don't, when you resist it, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some point, for a lot of people, that's when it overtakes us. And I'm not willing to go to that place anymore. I want to get ahead of things. I like solving problems before they get bigger and bigger and become a super problem, right? So when I get to this place where I see my limits and I meet them, I'm like, oh, hey, limit. Okay, well, what's over there? And then, you know, life shows me what that next part looks like. And I rise up to grow my strength. So I see every single challenge now as the most beautiful opportunity that life is serving me up, and it's in my control to learn from it and grow from it. And you once again have that same potential. Okay, the next thing I learned is that something that I had for a large part of my life that I took for granted was having luxurious amounts of time to sleep and eat. And that was a luxury that I really lost becoming a mom. So I'm an only child. I had no idea what it was like growing up to have to, you know, fight for food with siblings or whatever. And I just always took a long time to eat. And I didn't know that was a thing until I had Micah. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I have 50 other million things that I have to do. And I literally said, after watching so many of my friends become moms, I'm like, I'm not going to be that mom. Okay, what am I going to do? There's so many things that have to get done. So I eat a lot faster now. And I sleep a lot less. And granted, I'm getting 8 hours of sleep now, but I used to sleep like 10 or 11 hours a night. So those were two luxuries that I sacrificed becoming a mom. And that's okay, because it's 100% worth it. But it was so jarring in the beginning of like, who knew that I took, you know, this ample amount of time, this luxurious amount of time to do these simple little things, but holy guacamole. But now I actually schedule in time. If I really want to savor a meal, I will schedule that. And I will protect that time at all costs, because this girl is a foodie and I love my food. So I definitely enjoy that moment and I protect that moment when it is available to me. Okay, another learning that I had, and actually these next two really go hand in hand, is for me at this point in my life, time is more valuable than money. I never thought I would ever say that, because I've always been very, very, very financially driven. And feeling wealthy to me has nothing to do with money. So these were two very, very big learnings. And these were things that have been in the works for the past couple of years, but they really, like, those planes have landed this year. These learnings cemented, they are now just my fundamental way of operating. And on the other side of being off of work for over a year while I had Micah, it was very challenging for me, because I did not realize how deeply I connected my success to money. And what I had to confront again, just like when I launched my business, was how to feel successful, how to feel worthy, how to feel good enough when no money was coming in. And that was very, very challenging for me. And I realized when I looked at the areas of my life, I asked myself a very powerful question. I was like, okay, so if I need money to feel wealthy, what are the areas of my life where I already feel wealthy? And I looked at time. And I looked at all of the time, abundance, and freedom that I have to support my parents, to take care of my baby, to take care of myself, to make nutritious food, to work out, to travel, to just truly live my best life. And I am so wealthy when it comes to time. I am wealthy when it comes to my health. I am wealthy when it comes to the way that I feel about myself, the way that I feel when I look, you know, the relationship I have with myself when I look in the mirror. I'm wealthy when it comes to material things. Like, I literally could not ask for one more thing in my life. I was thinking about what I wanted for Christmas and trying to make a Christmas list to give to my husband, and I barely had anything to put on it because I have more than enough than I ever could possibly need. So material wise, I'm wealthy. Life experience wise, I am wealthy. I think we went on 15 trips, maybe 10, 15 trips. I would have to go back and count, but I want to say it was every 5 to 6 weeks in 2023, we took a trip. And for me, at this point in my life, life experience is more valuable than having a huge chunk of money sitting in my bank account. And for even saying that out loud is weird, because for so many years of my life, the only thing that mattered was money. And it did not matter what I had to do to get that money. Like, if I had to work 80 hours a week, if I had to grind, if I had to hustle, it didn't matter because I was working for that dollar. I was working for that next promotion. I was hustling harder. And truly, that burned me out at the highest level. And the interesting thing is, I got to the point where I wanted to be financially, and I still wasn't happy. And I was the unhealthiest I've ever been. My skin was gray. I was over 200 pounds. I was miserable. I was taking shit care of myself. I was eating, you know, fast food all the time because I had no energy. I was never working out. I had no time to do anything that brought me joy. Like, people would say, like, oh, what are your hobbies? And I would just laugh. I'm like, hobbies? What are those? Like, I was not living my best life, even though I was rich by society standards. I had more money than I knew what to do with. I had a very intimate relationship with Chanel and Gucci, but I have all these material things in my closet. They don't mean shit anymore, right? Because that's not where, to me, where wealth comes from. And that's why I was saying, like, I don't need anything else to feel good enough. I don't need one more dollar in my bank account to feel like I'm worthy or to prove myself. So a big point of growth for me this year was disconnecting money from my idea of what success is and disconnecting money from my self-worth. And that in itself was such a pivotal growth moment for me. And it really set me free in so many areas of my life. So if you were to ask yourself that question, in what ways of your life are you already wealthy? And what are the things that are the most valuable to you and why? What would you answer? I'd be so curious to know. And if you want to have a discussion about this, send me a message on Instagram, DM me with what came up for you, because I'm just so curious to see where you're at. Because for so many of us, and for so many of us as women, we find a very powerful connection to feeling worthy via our salary and our job title. But here's the deal. What happens when you don't have that salary and that job title? This was the identity crisis that I talked so much about in separating your self-worth and self-esteem from your job title and your salary, which was one of my number one podcast episodes of 2023. And I'm not surprised, because so many of us as women do that. And the identity crisis that I had is I'd always defined myself as a, you know, beauty industry professional, product developer, marketer. I had developed this sense of self that was all built around having a multi six-figure salary, being a bicontinental businesswoman, flying first class, staying in five-star hotels, eating at Michelin-rated restaurants. That was my norm. And what happened when I left my last job? All of that went away. And now I'm sitting here without any money coming in, without any first-class flight ticket booked, without any fabulous, you know, Italian dinners on the horizon. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? And I literally had an identity crisis. So for a lot of women, it's called enmeshment. What we do is, so we go into this psychological state of enmeshment where we identify as what we do for a living, because that makes us feel like we are somebody. And then where things get a little bit rocky is if that job title and that salary goes away, our identity goes away, our status goes away, our feelings of worthiness suffer, right? Our confidence dramatically dips, and we don't know who we are without that. So please, if you are in that state, go listen to that podcast episode. There is so much value in there for you. And if you need support with separating who you are from what you do and building your self-worth and your self-esteem built upon things other than money and job title, let's definitely have a conversation, because those are all things that we work through in the CAN program during our 3 months together. So shoot me a message, soulmakeupcustomercare@gmail.com, and we can continue that conversation. Okay, next valuable learning is my voice really matters and I am deeply loved. So when I first started my business, I was coming off the heels of a very toxic working environment where I really felt demoralized. And I used to be the person that would always speak up first in meetings. I was always the first to share my ideas. I was always that first one on the dance floor type of energy where I'm like, yes, let's talk about it, right? Like I was always first to speak up. And I lost that part of myself when I was at my last job because I was, you know, it was a very hard environment to succeed in and a very hard environment to feel confident in because you were demoralized, you were just beaten down, your ideas were shit on. Like it just was a very easy way to really feel insecure. So I lost that. And going into starting my business, I really struggled with this belief that nobody cares. Nobody cares what I have to say. Nobody, you know, likes me. Nobody loves me because I was, you know, in a place where I didn't really feel that camaraderie with my past coworkers, even though in other companies, I had that. I had a team that felt like family. We had each other's backs at the highest level. We are our ride or dies. But in my last job, it was cutthroat. It was mean girls. It was bullying. It was cattiness. It was knifing each other in the back all the time. And it created this sense of self where I'm like, nobody cares what I have to say and nobody likes me. So why would I even speak up at all? Why would I share about my experience? Why would I share? Because nobody thinks that this is valuable. And I held myself back from actually sharing what was really going on in my life and how I was helping myself with the tools that I teach my clients. And my clients would say to me all the time, they're like, why are you not on social media talking about this? Like, this is so powerful. So many people need to hear this story. Or, you know, when I would share things that I would talk about in a speaking engagement, people would be like, you need to be talking about this on social media. You need to be putting this in your emails. Like, why are we never seeing this from you? And I would only talk about coaching. And when I realized that my secret sauce is, and it is my authenticity. That is my superpower. That is truly one of my biggest gifts, is just being myself. But I have this conditioning from all of these years in corporate that I'm too much, that I'm too loud, that I'm too bold, that I'm too courageous, that I'm too confident. And that really was an invitation when I started my business to play small. And I actually worked with coaches on this to really help me bring out my authenticity and figure out how I want to share that with you in a way that feels safe and secure to me. And I'm there. This was the year. And I think on the other side of having Micah, the one thing that I've lost is my give a fucks because A, I just don't have time. And B, also turning 40, I just don't care anymore the way that I used to. Like, I don't let other people's opinions of me define me because I have such a strong, secure sense of self. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. I know the purpose that I have in this world. I know what I'm meant for. And someone's opinion of me no longer has the potential or the opportunity to influence my opinion about me, which is a very powerful place to be. So I know in this facet of life, all I have to do is show up as myself, and that's enough. I don't have to do anything more because my authenticity is my unique superpower. My too muchness is my superpower. That is a gift, not something that needs to be minimized or hidden. It is my superpower. So I am owning that in such a powerful way, which was in the infancy of my business, something that was so hard for me to do. Oh God, I just hit it at all costs, right? The next lesson is my confidence is innate. So that confidence is already inside of me. And all I have to do is take action to bring it out. And when that action is fueled by trust and belief, my confidence is on level unfuckwithable. Like it is a whole different level. And that confidence, when I walk into a room, it is magnetic. This is something that I hid about myself, or I felt like it was a problem for many, many years. But when I walk into a room, people feel my energy and I turn heads. It is something that has made me very uncomfortable my whole entire life. It is something I've tried to hide. I've tried to, like, you know, cover it or whatever. But I see this now as something that is just who I am. I have a bold personality. I have a lot of strong energy. People are magnetized towards me. And I see this as a superpower now, as to where before I really thought this was a flaw and I wanted to minimize it. And I wanted to try to be somebody else so that way I didn't attract all this attention. But here's the deal, is that it's going to happen anyways, right? Like, so I had this moment in 2020 where I did a speaking engagement, and it was the first time I really stepped into this, owning this as a part of myself. And I just allowed this to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So when I say my confidence is innate, it's because I started practicing at this event in 2020. So here's what I did. So at this event, I was speaking, I was doing a keynote speech at a women's empowerment event, and I was taking the stage in front of 500 women. And I was like, all right, Elise, you've worked on yourself for this whole entire year. This is the the time to release this new version of you into the wild. So as I was walking up, I literally pictured like there was a Beyonce fan on me. My shoulders were tall. My spine was erect. I had a pep in my step. Like I was doing that stomp. My hair was bouncing. My eye contact was direct. My heart was open. My gut was centered and grounded and strong. And I walked in and it was literally like the record scratch. Like everybody was like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And for the first time in my life, I didn't make it a problem. I was like, yeah, that's just who I am. I'm somebody who commands the attention of a room and I don't have to do anything because my confidence is magnetic. It is innate. This is just who I am. So I sat down. All these people come up. They're like, who are you? Why do we need to know you? What's going on? Why are you looking so fabulous over here? It also, you know, didn't help that I was wearing a sequin adorned jumpsuit, but I love sequins. I love glitter. That's what I do. Glitter's my favorite color aside from pink. So I owned that. And when I got on stage, it was like everybody already knew me. They already loved me because they had talked to me. They had seen me in the room. Like they were just drawn to me because of that innate confidence that is already within me. So after that experience, I really gave myself permission to keep dialing that confidence up to a 10 and resist temptation to minimize my confidence in myself when somebody else was intimidated by that. Instead, I choose to see that confidence that is innately within me as an invitation for them to rise up and build their confidence too. So instead of seeing that as a problem or feeling like, oh, me, my certainty in myself is making them uncomfortable, so I should, you know, minimize myself or say like, oh, I totally have been there too. No, I don't want to trauma bond with you. I don't want to relate to you. I invite you to grow up to and rise up to my level and do the work that I've done on myself so that way you can be your best self too. So you no longer have to feel threatened or intimidated by anybody because you're so secure with who you are, to where you no longer have to compare yourself and feel that despair that comes along with comparison because you're not secure with who you are, right? So now I know my confidence is innate. It is just in my essence. It is just who I am. And I own that, right? The next lesson that I learned is all I have to do to be successful is just to be it, to walk the walk, show people my process, and that's enough. So once again, going back to authenticity being my superpower and my confidence being innate, I don't have to go above and beyond to do anything beyond that in order to just like live my life and make invitations for people to help them. That is what has helped me to create multiple six figures in my business because I'm literally showing people what is possible. So there's a lot of times where my brain was like, oh, you need to be doing more. You need to be doing this. And anytime I see need or should present in my vocabulary when it comes to doing something, I throw it away now because that is just going to be something that is creating pressure or it's not a true desire. When it is a true desire, it is, for me, it is like a full body hell yes that I cannot turn down the volume on. I am so motivated and inspired to work on something that is a full body hell yes that I could literally spend all night, wake up energized the next day because I'm so fueled to work on this. If I don't feel that way about something, I don't work on it anymore. It doesn't hit my agenda. It doesn't make my priority list. Because I don't work best under that type of pressure. So I know for me to be successful, just be it, walk the walk, be a product of my product, show people how I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing so they can do the same, and that's enough. The next lesson that I learned, and this is one of the most beautiful things that I learned this whole entire year, is my capacity to love is infinite. And this is something that being Micah's mom has showed me. And oh, I'm tearing up just saying that. But I had heard other parents say this, and I didn't really understand it. And they were like, no, you'll get it once you become a parent. And I would ask them like, how do you just, you know, continue to like grow your love for this little creature? And they're like, it just happens. And so I noticed like, I was so in love with him when I first had him, and like a month into it, my love is just bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden month six, it's like so deep. And then year one, it was just like explosive. And every time I look at him, I feel like my love just gets deeper and deeper and deeper for him. And this capacity to love has spilled over into my relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family, with my friends, my relationship with my clients, my relationship with you here, having this conversation on the podcast, my work that I'm doing one-to-one. Like this love is just radiating out of me. And it is such a beautiful energy to create from because I truly believe that love has the power to cure all. I truly believe that love is one of the most powerful medicines that you can ever serve yourself. I think love is such a beautiful feeling. And when I sink into love, it is just delicious. Like delicious is the best way that I can use, you know, word that I can use to describe the feeling of love within me. So that capacity to love is just growing and it feels infinite. And that is why I chose the word expansive for 2024, because that capacity to love is creating the most explosive, infinite, expansive potential for me. And I'm in love with it because my capacity to love is infinite, right? So those, I would say, are my top lessons. And I'm so proud of being willing to learn these lessons. I'm so proud of being willing to feel all of the shitty feelings, being willing to go through all the challenges and learn from them and review them and evaluate them and take those learnings and applying them right away so that way I can grow into my next best self. So those are the top lessons. Now let's talk about my top failures because, man, I had some ugly ones this year and some ones where it just felt heavy. And I, once again, I'm so proud of myself for going through these failures because failure to me at this point in my life, I'm not afraid of it. It's just a part of the process. It's just feedback that informs my next best success. So in order to be successful, failure is a part of the process. It is a requirement into creating success. So I for many years now, that's been my relationship with failure. In the beginning of my business, I was terrified to fail, but I threw that away. I used to be one of those people that was like, failure is not an option. And for me now, failure is my only option because it's going to lead me to my next step. So I want to share with you my top failures. The first thing where I really failed in 2023 is I was forcing it. So for the first part of the year, there were so many things, both personally and professionally, that I was trying to force. So for example, if I was doing a launch in my business and I was doing, let's say, a CAN program launch, I knew like within me, I didn't want to do this launch, but I felt like I had to. And I'm like, well, this is how the successful people do it. And in my head, I'm like, no, Elise, you said this year you were going to do it your way. You're not going to force anything. You're going to trust. If you don't want to do this launch, don't do it. But then I would see something. I'm like, but I have to, right? This is why I said having to, needing to, shoulding. I just don't subscribe to any of this after everything that I've learned this year, because that is not going to be my best work. So what I would do is I would force myself to do it a certain way. I would force myself to create the specific launch process with all the emails and the funnel and the sequence. And I would force myself to write all the social media copy and make all these graphics. And as I was doing this, I would feel the most immense dread to the point where it almost felt like my body, as I was going to lift my fingers to the keyboard, was heavy. And I didn't want to do it, but I forced myself to. And then guess what? I think for my first five or six launches, I sold $0. And it was so defeating, like crippling at times, and so disappointing and embarrassing. Because here I am, 4 years into my business. And granted, I took a year and a half off to have my baby, but I just felt like I should know this already. I should be past this. I should, right? I really shamed myself. And it was one of those things where it's like, I see so clearly now I had to go through that to get to here. But it was just knowing that this isn't how I work best, this isn't what I want to do, and abandoning that knowledge, abandoning my own wisdom, abandoning my own process. And of course, nothing works because I was forcing it. When we force things, we create pressure. The only thing good that comes from pressure is diamonds. And so nothing came good from the pressure that I was putting on myself to create in my business. And I realized, and this was something that was a pivotal learning that really set me free, is anytime I feel like I have to sell something, I sell nothing because I'm not a salesperson. Like I, even going back to beauty, I, as a product developer, I had to sell my ideas to the team. Once they fell in love with it, then I had to go to retailers like Sephora and Ulta and QVC and Walmart and Target and, you know, the biggest of the biggest retailers in the world. And I would do pitches to these retailers to sell them the products, but I never approached it from a place of sales. What sold the product was my love for what I had developed, my infectious energy, my passion for the product, being so lit up and excited about how the product performed. Was I doing any of that with my business this year? No, I was following some bullshit roadmap that somebody gave me. And of course it wasn't working because I didn't want to do it that way. So it was a really powerful learning, and I have really sank into my human design. So if you all have never heard of human design, you can go get a free test. Just Google free human design test and you can learn your human design. So I got my first human design reading back in 2020, and I kind of just put it on a shelf because I didn't understand what this lady told me. It didn't make sense to me. And then last year, I really started getting back into it. So I'm a generator 2-4. Generators are meant to respond to life. And if I think about every success that I have ever created in my life, I have not had to create it. It just came to me and I responded to it, and then boom, explosive things happened. Was I applying any of that in the first, you know, quarter one and two of my business? Sure wasn't. Nope. I was forcing everything. And as a generator, the one of the most crippling energies that I can take action from is frustration. And I would say quarter one and quarter two, the number one thing that I felt was frustration because nothing was working. And I just was like banging my head against a wall. I'm just, you know, trying shit. I almost felt like at some point I'm like, desperate, just something work. And nothing was working. It was like people could smell my my desperation through the internet. And so it was a hard learning. Didn't taste good, but as a generator, and I'm going to give you an example. When I used to develop products, people, you know, my bosses would say to me, "Hey, Elise, can you develop our next $1 million product?" No, I never could just like develop something like that on demand. But there were times in my career where something would come to me and it would hit me like a 100-foot wave. And I would lose my breath because I knew. I was like, oh my God, this is it. And then that knowing was so deep in me that I would take action on it immediately. And I literally would not stop working on it. I just had all the energy surplus in the world. I would go, 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 go. And I would create it. And then next thing you know, it's a $1 million seller. It's winning an Allure Best of Beauty Award. It's on, you know, the face of this A-list celebrity on Cosmo Magazine on the cover, right? Like that feeling is so powerful. And that is my full body hell yes that I mentioned earlier. So I know that feeling. And all I was doing was abandoning it and doing things that felt forced. So now I understand if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And being an entrepreneur, I love that I have the luxury to operate in that way, because obviously in corporate, it was my job to come up with products. But if I wasn't having this, you know, epiphany of an idea, people are like, come on, step it up, step it up. And yes, I agree with you. But it's like, I guess I need to step it up, but I can't just like create on demand like that. That's not how I work. So now through human design, I've gotten so into really understanding how I work best, understanding how I process, understanding how I manage my emotions and stress. And it has been something that has really liberated me and set me free. As a gift to myself on Black Friday for my birthday, I got Erin, oh God, I'm going to mess up her name. Is it Erin Claire James? Oh, hold on, I need to look it up. But she made this human design blueprint, and you can buy your blueprint where it's like a 60-page document telling you all about you. I want to say it was like under $100. It was the best investment of this year. And hold on, I just want to make sure I have her name right. Yeah, Erin Claire Jones. You can follow her Instagram, ErinClaireJones. So she is the human design educator. And so this human design blueprint was incredible. And all I kept doing is every time I would start to want to slip back into needing to do it somebody else's way or trying to force it, I would just go read this blueprint. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. More trust, more confirmation. I just need to follow my human design. And that's it. That's all I have to do is just respond to life and lean into what feels satisfying and create from that energy. And that's enough, right? So all of these ideas of like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Oh, I should be doing more. That all went away when I just leaned into the human design and stopped trying to force it. And the ironic thing is I really started adapting into this way of being midway through this year. And what ended up happening? I started making a ton of results in my business. It was like signing a client here. Oh, signing a client here, booking this engagement here, going to this event here, meeting this person here. Like life was just bringing me exactly what was meant for me because I got into full alignment and stopped trying to force things that I didn't even want to make happen in the first place. That's the most annoying part. Okay. So that was failure number one, is forcing it. Failure number two, actually, wait, let me give you one more example. Micah. I tried to force a lot with Micah, like forcing nap routines, forcing, you know, eating schedules, forcing this and that. None of that worked. And my child just rebelled against me. So anytime I just let it be what it was going to be, we found our own natural rhythm, our own natural flow. It was just so easy. There was no resistance because we were just in flow. And I love being in flow state. So I realized personally as well, all of the different areas, you know, I had this idea in the beginning when I first had Micah, I was like, I got to get on it. I got to lose all the weight. And I just stopped. And I was like, no, I'm not going to force it. I'm just going to let it happen naturally. Cause that's how I lost 55 pounds the first time when I quit Estee Lauder, is I just let myself be active. I didn't put a timeline on it. I didn't put parameters on it. I just started getting active and I lost the weight with ease. So anytime I try to force anything, both personally or professionally, it never works. So for me, forcing it, huge failure. Okay, failure number two, trying to do it all and not asking for help. Okay, so I teach women as a coach how to not do it all and how to ask for help. It's something I'm very firm on in terms of what I teach. And I guess I need to be my own student. And I was in a very powerful way this year because I wanted to be super mom. I wanted to be super CEO. I wanted to be able to take on the weight of the world and just do everything. And I swore that somebody was going to be waiting for me at the end of this, you know, hypothetical finish line with a badge of honor saying, yay, you did it all on your own. Look how powerful you are. Look how strong you are. So here's the deal. I felt so so unseen. I felt so unsupported. I felt so bitter. I felt so resentful. I felt so angry at so many points of this year. But was I asking anybody for help? Was I telling anybody that I was feeling this way? Was I just suffering in silence? Yeah, I was. I wasn't vocalizing where I needed any sort of support. And so midway through the year, I had told my husband, I was like, look, I was going into a launch. It took me 60 hours to do this launch. I was getting my mom to watch the baby, my aunt, my cousin, whoever could possibly come over and watch Micah to put this launch together. And I was like, look, I'm done. I cannot do this all. I need a nanny. We need to hire somebody immediately. And one of my biggest manifestations from this year was my dream nanny. And this is the ended up being my cousin's daughter. Her name is Brandy. Please follow her. Her name is Baby Talk with B on Instagram. She is an infant care specialist. She literally has her degree in child development. I, from day one of getting pregnant, was like, I want you to be my nanny. And she was working for another family and wasn't able to work for us. And I was like, please, what can I do to pull you away? Like, I need you to come and support us. And I was struggling to find somebody to come and support me. No, there weren't people that I trusted out there in the way that I would have trusted her. And I just kept praying and saying, like, I am manifesting for Brandy to come be my nanny. I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to trust it's all going to work out. So I'd signed a bunch of new clients. They were starting on a Wednesday out of nowhere. Brandy messages me on Monday and says, hey, are you still looking for a nanny? And in my gut, I felt it. I knew she was asking because she was going to say, I'm available. But I tried to play it cool. I was like, yeah, why? Do you know somebody? And I knew it was her. I knew it. I felt it. I was like, this manifestation is coming into reality. I'm that intentional about what I want. And life always brings me what I want when I get that crystal clear and when I'm that intentional. So I asked for help. I asked for exactly what I wanted. And she came back to me and she's like, yeah, do you want me to come and watch Micah? I was like, can you start on Wednesday? She's like, yeah, I'll be there. And literally she's been with us now almost this whole entire year. It has been a dream come true. And that was such a powerful turning point. So if I needed our house clean more, we had our house cleaner come more. If I needed, you know, my mom to come over and watch Micah so I could come and take a bath, I would go do that. I would go unapologetically go get a massage and a pedicure because I need my me time. If I needed protected time to work, I would once again get support. So instead of trying to do it on my own and be this superhero that somebody was going to reward, which PS, nobody rewarded me. I didn't get any cred for it. But instead of just being this like bitter, resentful, burned out superhero, I asked for help and I leaned in and I went to my elevation squad. I went to my friends. I went to people saying, hey, here's where I'm struggling. And I have built this elevation squad by intention. So I have the right people in place to support me when I need that support. So now I leaned in so hard in midway through the year, you know, and everything started turning around. And I made a commitment to myself that I'm no longer going to be the person who feels the need to carry the weight on her own. I don't need to do it all. I don't need to bear the responsibility for everything in life. Like, that doesn't make me any cooler. That doesn't make me any more powerful or stronger. Like, I'm not, I just don't need, you know, that anymore. So not asking for help, huge fail. Not asking for help, huge win. So I was able to turn that one around this year. Okay. The next thing that I would consider my final failure for 2023 is really, and I mentioned this a little bit when I was talking about my lessons, but seeing that success is only there when money is present. So I really had to revamp my relationship with success. And I actually walked myself through my SPF exercise, which I teach inside the CAN program. And my relationship with success was really based upon two fundamentals. One, money. And B, if I never give up on myself, then I will be guaranteed to succeed, which is still very true. But where I had to disconnect from was thinking I needed to make a certain amount of money to be seen as successful. Because when I really got honest about that, I was only looking at it from my own lens, right? Like, I thought I had to make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year in order to feel successful. But in reality, that's not the case. Because once again, as I mentioned in my lesson, I was wealthy in so many other areas of life. I think about the places that we've gone this year, you know, we have an RV, like a beautiful, we call it our glamper, right? Like, we have this beautiful place that we get to stay in, these beautiful hotels that we're staying in all across the world. Like, I'm wealthy in so many other areas. So I had shamed myself coming back from maternity leave that those launches didn't work out and that I should have been doing better and I should have been making more money and that I was just this failure because I wasn't creating the type of results that I created before having Micah. But look, like, calm down, Elise. Oh my God. Like, let's not shame so hard, because the reality was I didn't want to work. And if I really sat down and got honest with myself, of course nothing worked out, because my true desire, my subconscious desire that I had fully committed to and aligned to, was being 100% present for that first year of life with Micah. And I achieved that. And even though nothing worked out with the launches, it gave me the most beautiful opportunity to learn how to feel successful without money in a very powerful way and disassociate success from monetary. And that, oh my God, like, talk about failure turned into success. Once again, that's why I'm so willing to fail, because I'm able to turn every failure into a success. Guess what ended up happening? I had an explosive quarter two or three and four of this year because I just let it go. I surrendered. I was like, okay, so whatever. My launches aren't producing the money that I want to see right now. That's okay. It's allowing me to be present with my son. Time is my most valuable luxury. If time is my most valuable commodity. So feel wealthy because of time and stop killing yourself with this money stress. Oh my God. And the funny thing is, I was making enough to cover my stuff, but it just wasn't what I was making at Estee Lauder. So I felt like I was failing, right? So frustrating. So frustrating. So those are my three failures: forcing it, not asking for help, and shaming myself because of money, you know, and not feeling successful because the money wasn't where I wanted it to be. But now in hindsight, thank God I was willing to feel all of those failures, to navigate all of those failures, to learn from all of those failures, because holy guacamole, it set me up for so much explosive success, both personally and professionally, in the end of this year. So who I became in 2023, this really was a rebirth and rebuild year. So I feel like I became me. Me, that more me than I have ever been, more embodied, more empowered, more innately confident, more wise, more successful, just the best version of myself that has ever existed. And I just keep getting better because I'm so willing to feel the shit and grow from it. And my vibe going into next year is just expansive and explosive. And I'm so excited to carry this energy and all of these learnings and all of this momentum into 2024 and just keep doing the damn thing. Like, finding out that my podcast was in the top 10% of the podcast out of 3.2 million podcasts in the world. And then on top of it, having the most beautiful roster of clients that I'm doing the most remarkable work with, it is the absolute best feeling to close this year. And I created all of this for myself by being willing to fail and taking these lessons and growing and learning and running 100 miles an hour with this new wisdom on the other side of it. So that's where I'm at. That is my year. That is all of the knowledge that I have to share based on what went wrong, what went right, and who I became in the process and what I'm going to do differently next year. So stay tuned, because we're just getting started on this podcast. What a beautiful first year. I want to say this might be the 100th episode, which is so crazy that in a year I can put out 100 podcast episodes. What? But we're doing the damn thing. We're taking massive action. That's what we do here. We don't wait to create results. We take confident action now inside of the Confidence Lounge. So thank you for being here with me. Stay tuned, because I'm going to be releasing another bonus episode this week about cleaning the slate. And then we're going to go straight into a month-long challenge in January to help you create your best life and start living it in 31 days. Are you ready for this? Because it's going to be powerful as fuck. So let's do the damn thing, friends. I will see you in the next episode. Oh, hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If this helps you, I would love for you to share the gift of confidence with a friend, because this is how we all grow. So share this with your girls, a coworker, a fellow mama, or your fam on social media, because we all need support in our confidence journey. So sharing can help us heal, feel better, and take steps to grow now. Also, I'd love if you would drop your rating in. Ratings and reviews help me so much more than you realize. And if you found yourself listening today and thinking, I need professional support, I would love to invite you to join the CAN program, where I will teach you how to take confident action now. If increased confidence is what you want, this is multiple months of dedicated you time where we will do the deep work on you to create your most confident self, both personally and professionally. Because once you know how to generate the feeling of confidence from the inside out, the possibilities become endless and your results become inevitable. This is the most valuable investment you will ever make in yourself, and I cannot wait to see who you become on the other side of doing this work on you. So visit me at soulmakeup.com to learn more, or come be my bestie on Instagram. You can find me at your soul makeup. See you next time.